We are back for another season of the Maine Celtics podcast. Welcome in, folks. Brendan Glasheen welcoming in our new guest, our new analyst in the booth this year for Maine Celtics basketball. His name is John Scheinman. We'll get to John in just a second here. We're excited to be with you again on the Maine Celtics YouTube page. Please like and subscribe to the channel. We will be with you a lot more than last year. Last year was sort of our guinea pig season, but the Maine Celtics, as we know, gave us a fun ride into a very long playoff run into the month of April and coming up just a little bit short, one win short of a G League championship. As we know, they took care of business in Boston and they won the NBA championship, Banner 18. So a lot of winning times here with the Celtics organization, and we're excited to have you throughout the course of the year. We'll keep you updated on how often we will be with you in the podcast form. So we're excited to be with you all. John Scheinman is the new color analyst in the Maine Celtics booth. This is my fourth year coming up with Maine. John and I go way back. We worked together at the University of New Hampshire calling basketball games for their digital platform. And John is a former coach. I'll let him dive into some of the particulars. But John, it's great to have you. We're very excited about having a season together in the booth.
Really excited to be working with you again, Brendan, and really excited to watch the Maine Celtics. Phenomenal period in the organization's history. I mean, sky's the limit. They are the model for both the NBA and the G League. So this should be a really exciting season.
Former head coach at Plymouth State. Just give us a couple of tidbits on the background so folks are convinced that you know what you're talking about.
Thanks, Brendan. I've had the privilege actually to coach at every level, Division 1, 2, and 3, head coach in Division 3. And no stranger to Portland Expo 30 years ago, I coached at St. Joseph's of Maine. And in fact, the 92-93 season, I believe we cut down the nets in the Portland Expo for winning NAIA New England Championship. So really excited to be back in Maine, as I mentioned, and excited again to be working with you. Also, most recently, been a volunteer assistant coach for 12 years at New Hampton School and coached a host of G League players and have coached people that are coaching in the G League right now. So pretty exciting. Looking forward to this opportunity to work with you again.
Love it. Cutting down the nets. There's championship pedigree from John inside the expo. So that works out in everybody's favor. So the purposes of our episode today is to kind of get to know the team. We know some sure things. There are some things up in the air, but that's the nature of the biz. Boston's off to a good start, of course, at the NBA level. And we'll get to chat with our featured guest this week is the first year analyst and a first-year head coach, Tyler Lashbrook, who comes from Boston. He was in a developmental role, a player development role with the NBA team last year. Now he is with the G League team getting his first crack at head coaching. Tyler Lashbrook is our featured guest on episode one of season two, Maine Celtics podcast. So what we'll do is we'll go through the roster, and it's better to start with what we're familiar with. And we're going to have a few familiar faces, John, returning to the expo, most notably a 22-year-old who is a veteran now in the G League, and J.D. Davison, the combo guard. He'll be a guy bringing up the ball quite a bit this year for Maine. Had a good season, a great season, 21.5 points per game last year. He was right around the top of the league for most of the year, showcase regular season in assists. We're expecting big things out of J.D. Davison. He continues to come out of his shell. The confidence is just oozing from this young man.
Confidence is oozing. He's grown every year. Hard to believe that he's only 66 points away from being the all-time leading scorer in Maine Celtic history. That's pretty exciting, too. Looking forward to watching him. But he said this, and he'll speak on this a little bit later in this podcast. He wants to improve his leadership and be a leader. He's really excited about the opportunity. He was very excited about winning a championship ring with the parent club and couldn't stop talking about that. The thing for me about JD, continue to grow from the three-point line. Last year during the regular season, he shot only 26% and improved in a playoff to 31%. So he continues his growth. I'm sure that's something that the coaches will talk to him about and Coach Lashbrook will work with him as he becomes a complete player.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible considering he was in a sixth-man role at Alabama and took on pretty quickly took on a leadership role given his position, but he learned from Denzel Valentine going back a couple years ago. And then last year with having so much mixture in the roster with your Kadas and your Walshes coming up and down, and then also integrating another piece who we'll talk about in a moment in Drew Peterson. This will be his first full season with Maine. JD, yes, did get his championship ring at opening night a few weeks ago. And as John teased a second ago, we had a chance to join some of the Maine Celtics at the Auerbach Center. The Celtics were on the road, so Maine had a chance to work out at the Celtics practice facility. JD Davison, he got the taste of what the championship like is at the NBA level, why he feels it's important to get it done in Maine.
Definitely a big part of what we got going on now. A lot of guys started in early August, just here grinding, trying to get to back to where we was last year. So try to get over that hump is a big deal for us in Maine.
So coming off an all-NBA G League third team nod, JD Davison, I'm glad you mentioned the shooting, and we know how important the three ball has become at every level, particularly with the Celtics right now, number one in the league in three-point volume, but how they space the floor. It's a tough rotation to crack, as we know, in Boston, but it continues to peak open for Davison, and who knows, there might be situations this year where JD's going to come up and down, and he did that last year. John, I'm curious if the challenge as a point guard to have to now, especially in this league, how you're challenged each and every year to work with a new roster. And that's basically what he's going to do here again in Maine.
Correct. Well, that challenges. But, you know, the game's pretty global and people are used to playing. And the great thing that the Celtics do is from Maine to Boston, the system's in place. They know what they want to do. And as you mentioned, the Celtics shoot at the three ball as well as anybody in history of the game. And JD is going to thrive in that as he continues to grow, wants to get better. The other thing we didn't mention, he has the capability every time you watch him play to be a stat stuffer and not just scoring. And those guys are fun to watch.
Yeah. He had a breakout really once the beginning of the year, of course, going into the showcase and then out of the showcase, really the team as a whole clicked, but Davison was a big contributor and a key cog in the Celtics run, the Maine Celtics run to the G League championship.
And so Brendan, you mentioned a showcase. JD did shoot 41% from three in the showcase. So proving that he can do it. And just as, mind you, you mentioned this earlier, he's only 22 years old. Future's very bright for that young man.
So we're used to JD Davison in these parts, and we're looking forward to another season from him. Joining him, Drew Peterson, who was signed last year by the Boston Celtics to a two-way deal in mid-December. So Drew's story is amazing when you consider how he finished his college career at USC. He's from Chicago, and he was in Sioux Falls with the G League Miami Heat affiliate, the Sioux Falls Sky Force. Drew gets the phone call. He packs up all his stuff, and he's making the drive. I believe Sioux Falls was on the road when he got the call to Boston, signing to a two-way. So he had to drive straight to Portland and had to assimilate very quickly. But as we know, sort of in the same, not, of course, the same build as far as their body types, but Drew is also kind of a do-it-all guy, as we saw last year, more notably in the regular season. The showcase, he was still trying to get used to his teammates, and that's a credit to the former head coach who's now in Charlotte, Blaine Miller, for getting those pieces in place and making it work. Drew Peterson last year in Maine, about 16 points per game, 7 rebounds, 5.5 assists, shot the three at 36%. I've come to find with Drew, John Scheinman, and we've watched players together at the college level too, Drew is almost, he's unselfish to a fault sometimes. He loves getting guys involved. I'm curious now to watch Drew and how his game grows.
Well, Drew, at 6'9", with guard skills, the future's very bright for that young man. He literally could do it all on the basketball court. And as you mentioned, Brendan, needs to just get somewhat a little more selfish to develop the offensive end of his game. Something that he talked about and the coaches talked about a lot is also to gain a little more weight/strength. That's his own self-analysis of himself, and we're looking for him to grow with that as well. But, I mean, any ability to guard 1-4, the ability to play all 5 offensive positions, his ability to pass, he's got a lot of potential to be a special player.
Doesn't hurt either when you're getting to camp in the late part of the summer, early fall, and you're at the Auerbach Center and you're practicing with the likes of your Tatums and Browns, and you're getting You're probably humbled right away to how to become a really elite wing player and to crack an NBA rotation. But it makes a lot of sense to me. I know that you had some ties to the Miami Heat organization going back a bit, but it makes sense why Sioux Falls, before any sort of two-way commitment, he was just on a G League standard contract. But it made sense to me that Sioux Falls, the Miami organization, was high on a Drew Peterson, because it makes you think about other guys at that level and that organization as to why he could be, as an undrafted guy out of USC, could be an NBA player.
Well, Brendan, you know me well, and I didn't want to mention my connections to the Heat organization. But yes, and they don't miss. They do a great job in developing guys, as do the Celtics. So to your point, it makes perfect sense that Drew Peterson would be offered a two-way contract by the Celtics. To his credit, and that's a credit to both of those organizations.
So while it's just his second season as a pro, he's the vet, really, when you just talk about age. He's another vet, one of four returning players for the Maine Celtics. Drew Peterson, also at the Auerbach Center, leading the way. He's showing guys around the facility. Here's Drew on what he expects from himself this year.
I'm trying to help, be a primary ball handler for the team, especially as, obviously with understanding how this goes, guys will be out certain days, JD could be up at Boston, depending on who's here and who's not, who's playing, who's not, I'm going to have to fill a multitude of different roles. So I think that's what Boston expects of me, be able to play, four different positions on the court. So I'm looking to help in any way I can, but obviously fine tune the shooting, the dribbling, and understanding what it takes to become like a lead guard.
So as you mentioned, the idea for Peterson now, having familiarity with the system, what Boston expects of him. Really, the other word is the I've heard this word a lot from JD and Drew, just being around the guys here these last couple weeks, getting ready for the season. The familiarity with the terminology, which Drew had to learn on the fly last year. And now, if he's got that down, playing multiple positions, given his frame and his IQ level, that's something that's going to be fascinating for us to watch on a night-to-night basis.
Looking forward to that, his growth with that. And the hard thing, as you mentioned, Brendan, is the nomenclature in different each system. Basketball is basketball, but each team calls things differently, and each team has what's really important point of emphasis differently. And as you move around, that's really important. The quicker you pick that up, leads to your success in a game of basketball. From the transfer portal to AAU, guys are used to playing in a lot of different places pretty quickly. To your point about Drew packing up and moving across the country.
Without question. Now, there's a young man coming into the Celtics organization who negates both of those things. He played for Mark Few for 5 years at Gonzaga, and Tom Watson, Boston Celtics second round pick. He's at 6'8", 235, a 5-year career at one school, which we don't hear that as often as we used to in the college basketball ranks. But Anton Watson just kept getting better every year at Gonzaga. Another deep run with the Zags, 14.5 points per game, about 7 rebounds, 58% from the floor, versatile big. Look, I'll tell you this, as a fan of the organization, as a fan of the Celtics, curious, Al Horford's getting up there. Amias Cade is thriving. We saw him in Maine a couple times last year. You've got Porzingis, of course. We're waiting for him to return. That front court in Boston, Luke Kornet, has been a fantastic story, seeing his emergence in the G League and now finding a comfort role in the Boston rotation. Anton Watson's got an opportunity here in Maine to really hone his skills. And if all goes well over this next year or two, who knows? But this is a position I feel that the Celtics found was important. And they're going to focus on getting Watson ready to join what is a loaded big man room when on the floor healthy. But this Anton Watson, what impresses you about his game coming out of Gonzaga?
Well, what impressed me about his game is everything. He can guard 5 positions. He plays every play like it's his last. Fearless rebounder, unselfish, works hard. And as you mentioned, he's a winner, as most Gonzaga players are. He can be the point forward. His sky's the limit for this young man, comparable to someone else on another team in Draymond Green. That's tall praise. He has that skill level, that potential. I mean, I'm really excited to watch him play and to watch him grow. You can't teach rebounding. He's fearless. And the unselfishness, as I mentioned earlier, the sky's the limit for that young man.
when we had a chance to talk to him the other day at Media Day, the internal Maine Celtics Media Day, he didn't know what to say. He was speechless when Brad Stevens called him on draft night. But from behind the curtain, when we saw Anton and the other Maine Celtics at the Auerbach Center the other day, we asked him about what the messaging has been from not just Brad Stevens, but Joe Mazzulla as he gets ready for his rookie season.
Yeah, I think it's been the same message from when I first got here, shooting more threes, being ready on the offensive end to score, and just doing the little things, rebounding, crashing every time, playing defense, being able to guard 1 through 5. So I think they're just keeping an eye on that and make sure I get better at those things.
So he leads off right there with shooting more threes. And if you just go back and look at his 5 years at Gonzaga, of course, the playing time goes up, expectations change. And you know this from coaching in programs. As you grow through within a program, your expectations on a statistical basis is important. But also, as you mentioned, the leadership and how you kind of get the most out of teammates, specifically on the three, shot 41% from three this past year, but it went up. The percentages went up every year, all 5 years. Just another guy that on a night-to-night basis, we don't know necessarily. It's going to rely a lot on who the opponent is and what their personnel looks like. But Anton Watson in the G League, he should be. And also, not to mention, you mentioned the winning program at Gonzaga. They've had a track record, not just, of course, in the NBA, but guys go in the G League all the time from the Gonzaga program.
And Anton, because his ability to shoot the three, he could have a very long, successful career in the NBA. You mentioned his leadership. Most coaches believe that player-led teams have the highest ceiling, and Anton is a leader, and that was proven by his success at Gonzaga.
Okay, very good. So those are your three two-way players. We didn't establish that from the top. The three two-way Celtics that will be up and down. They're under team control with the two-way contract. So J.D. Davison is on a two-way for a third straight year. Drew Peterson picked up midway through last year, and now the addition of Anton Watson, a five-year forward out of Gonzaga. So those guys are going to be some of the household names. We figured we'd lead with those. Let's discuss just for a couple minutes here. And again, Tyler Lashbrook is our guest this week on our first episode, our kickoff episode for season two of the Maine Celtics podcast. This young man is somebody who he's going to bring the energy every night, and that would be Jay Scrubb, who was on a two-way contract last fall with the Maine Celtics, and then a catastrophic torn ACL that held him out of last season. But he's tore it up in the G League. He was with the Lakeland Magic, now known as the Osceola Magic of the Orlando Magic organization. Guy's a bucket, can put up points, 23 points per game in his last full season. Shot the ball at 47%, four and a half rebounds. Jay Scrubb's going to be a fun guy to watch, and I think he's going to become a fan favorite very quickly.
He can score, as you mentioned, Brendan. The biggest question for him is how he recovers from the injury. Right. That's everybody's question. I mean, in a nutshell, he can play. He was drafted out of junior college, the first player drafted at a junior college since 2004. That says something about that young man's game, and he's overcome a lot of obstacles in his career that he's publicly mentioned, just transitioning from program to program, and really looking forward to watching him play this year. And as you mentioned, he's a bucket. He could flat out score, and hopefully successfully returns from his surgery, devastating injury, as you mentioned. Fun to watch.
Yeah, he's going to be, I hurt for him because he had such a good summer last year going into the fall. And when everything just gets kind of taken away from you like that, how do you channel it? And you mentioned his junior college story. He talked about this to us the other day on Media Day. Just those are some things that he kind of keeps in the back of his head. He's always been with that underdog mentality, which I know is cliche, kind of gets used a lot in pro sports, really all sports, which is, I get it for athletes' sake. They got to have something to give them the itch and to channel something. But Jay's story is phenomenal. Former second round pick of the Nets. And he is destined for a big year, we think, in Portland. And I think he's going to be a fan favorite. Now, he's got to go up against another guy who had his season cut short due to an injury. John, I think you're going to love this guy. Jordan Shackle is back in the G League. This will be his fourth season in the G League overall. 6'6 guard out of San Diego State. He's bounced around quite a bit with Santa Cruz and Capital City, which spoke volumes to me about Jordan Shackle, who can shoot the three at a very high clip, 40% last year. You know, Shaq was injured about midway through January, and he had to go have an operation done and handle his business. But what impressed me the most about him, and what speaks volumes about him, is he was present at the Expo at the end of March and in April during the playoff run. And he was MIA for a couple weeks, of course, taking care of his body and so on and so forth. But just walking up and down throughout the building, just seeing the smiles and the excitement from his teammates that he was around to be present. Shaq's got a lot of respect in that locker room, and I think he's got a lot of respect around the G League from his peers. And he's a great kid. He's got a great smile. Jordan Shackle is healthy. He's had a great camp so far.
Looking forward to meeting him and watching him play. As we talked about earlier about Watson and others, the ability to shoot the three and the Celtics philosophy and the way the game is played, that will keep you in professional basketball for a long period of time. And same thing. I hope he recovers fully from his injury. And you mentioned San Diego State. And Brian Dutcher does an unbelievable job teaching kids how to play defense. And interesting about him, both his parents played at USC, and he was recruited by USC and shunned them. He wanted his own identity. So looking forward to watching him play and filling up the nets from distance.
Yeah, Shaq's a lot of fun to watch. Him and JD hit a rhythm too in the showcase portion of the year. And when Shackle went down, they made some tweaks to the roster, as we know, to make a run to the finals. But in real time, we're thinking, if Shaq's out, that's a big missing ingredient for the Celtics. Okay, so we know Nemias Cade is tearing it up in Boston. I don't think we're going to see much Nemias Cade this year in Maine. I think that's pretty obvious at this point. He's been getting minutes in crunch time and closing out games for Boston here in the early part of the year. So in comes another big guy, and we had some mixture. Kyler Kelly was a great story last year for Maine. Had an unbelievable regular season as a defensive stopper, blocking shots, was top five in the league in block shots consistently throughout the year. James Banks turned into a fan favorite as well. So where's the size coming in? We got all these guards. In comes Dmytro Skopintsev, nicknamed Demo, a couple years in the Westchester Knicks organization. Originally from Ukraine, spent last year with Westchester, even the season before. He's another guy who can, he's blocking shots, but a block and a half a game, 53% from the floor, 10 points, 7 boards. Skopintsev, he's going to have an opportunity, I think, to put it simply, John, as a big guy running up and down with this high flying guards.
Correct. You don't have to know a lot about basketball to look at the roster and see that he will have immediate impact being a 7-footer as the rest of the guys are flying around. His sky's the limit. He had a great year last year for the Westchester Knicks, and looking for that to continue for the Maine Celtics. His ability, teammates love him. And you know, that's when guys like playing with you, that's the greatest compliment. And his teammates have really enjoyed playing with him, is what we hear from the folks in New York. So that's a pretty cool compliment to Demo.
Yeah, big guys in Maine have had, you know, going back to Fee Cabangele a few years ago, former first-round pick, rim-running bigs, and I think as a defender, something that I watched, just watching Cornette, too, on the offensive end in Boston. Cornette was so good as a rim roller and pick and rolls, how he can initiate some offense as well. I mean, Skopintsev, this might get buried in his stat line, just under 3 assists a game. The Celtics like bigs that know how to find guys on and off the ball.
Correct. And the big thing, like you mentioned, Cornette and Demo, they could pass and they have great hands. Nothing's more frustrating when you throw the ball to a big fella and the hands don't work. Sky's the limit for Demo, because he just knows how to play. Like a lot of European guys used to passing. He should have a great year in Maine because of his unselfishness.
No doubt about it. Dmytro Skopintsev, third year coming up in the G League, is first with the Maine Celtics. He started playing basketball at a very young age in Ukraine for about 7 years, as John mentioned, at the professional level. So we're looking forward to watching how he kind of fits in. We could spend all day going through the roster here, but a couple other guys, John, that you wanted to kind of shout out here that we'll be keeping our eyes on. And go ahead.
Well, you, Brendan, you know me well. I love guys that play both ends of the floor and are grinders. So really, Ron Harper Jr., close to the staff at Rutgers, and he just plays hard and fearless. He has good basketball pedigree. That's not because of his parents, just because of his playing at Don Bosco Prep in the AU circuit and at Rutgers, as well as Hassan Ward from Iowa State. And he had a great preseason, I've been told. Really two-way player. And what I mean by that is offensively and defensively, just gets it done, plays hard, competes. Both these young men know how to pass. Great roster in Maine this year. I'm excited.
I mean, that was the other thing, and we'll get to Tyler Lashbrook, the first year head coach here, in just a moment. John, that's really why I want to tee it up for you. When you put these puzzle pieces together, we heard this a lot. You hear it a lot in sports too, when teams think they're going to be pretty good. We look good on paper. Now, of course, we got to see what happens when the games start. But this collection here in Maine, I think folks in Boston have talked about it. They're talking about it already at the Expo. But what do you make of the mix of the pieces?
A lot of pieces. Really kind of jealous for Coach Lashbrook. He's got a lot of pieces to put the puzzle together. He could match up with anybody. If some guys are having a tough night, he could go to a different guy, different matchups depending on what the opponents bring in. And, you know, Coach Lashbrook, he's going to take great pride in developing these guys and continue their growth as players and people. And that's a credit to the Celtics organization. You've mentioned a few times, but the word I'm going to use is culture. They have a winning culture, and they are the model of a winning culture, following in the Warriors model. And Joe Goodrich shared this with us earlier, and I did not realize that. The only team that won the G League and NBA championship same year was the Warriors. Now, the Celtics came close last year, so maybe this year they could be the second team to do that. And my point is not putting too much pressure on Coach Mazzulla or Coach Lashbrook, but expectations are high, and that's a good thing. You know, that's a privilege and a credit to the Celtics organization.
Yeah, just to kind of piggyback off your point about Ron Harper Jr., he was on that Toronto Raptors G League affiliate, the 905, last year. They were ravaged by injuries and really couldn't get on the same page. Ron had a shoulder that had to shorten his season a bit as well. So we've got some stories here with Scrub and Shackle and Harper, guys coming back. That could take some time. So as far as the top of the roster is concerned, J.D. Davison, Drew Peterson, and Tom Watson, those guys are going to be anchors, I guess, early part of the year to get those other guys acclimated and back into the mix. But yeah, you said it with Ron Harper Jr., and he's been part of really good teams. Jay Scrub's been part of good teams in the G League. The most connected teams come February out of that All-Star break, those are the teams that go on and make a run, because there were teams last year and last year's postseason in the G League that were 5 or 6 seeds that got all the way to the conference final. So as Maine witnessed with Long Island last year in the Eastern Conference final, they ended up playing a team in Long Island as a 6 seed that beat the 1 seed Osceola, and that paved way for the Maine Celtics to get home court advantage in the G League finals. So, all right, well, there's your breakdown so far. The roster, again, we're going to have conversations like this throughout the year. Once the games start, we're going to have some games to sink our teeth into. But we got to do something. We got to do a show today, and we've got to pick it apart for what we can. So let's get the head coach on the podcast. As we normally do, we'll get the head coach on the first episode. Here is new Maine Celtics head coach, Tyler Lashbrook. Introducing the 10th head coach in Maine Celtics franchise history. He's joining us now on the Maine Celtics podcast, Tyler Lashbrook. Familiar with the Celtics organization. Folks, he comes from Boston after one season as an offensive assistant, player development coach on the 2023-24 championship season. A long tenure with the Philadelphia 76ers, some experience in the G League as well, in the Sixers organization, but his second year in the Celtics organization. Tyler, thanks for being here. How are things going?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a fun couple of first few weeks.
Tyler, a lot like the former head coach of the Maine Celtics, Blaine Miller, this is a first opportunity for you to be a head coach at the professional level. Just when you took this job, when you were appointed the opportunity from the organization, from the likes of Brad Stevens, Joe Mazzulla, the rest of the Celtics organization, what kind of went through your mind about how you'd like to embrace this?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that sort of went through my mind in terms of what the opportunity meant and the responsibility of that opportunity. And then I had been the head coach of the summer league team a few years ago, so I actually was able to have a little bit of a head start in terms of understanding how to like game plan a training camp. And so my mind almost went directly to training camp. Like as soon as I had got the job and how I wanted to do it, how we wanted to put the staff together, and how we wanted to coach the staff and get the staff ready to sort of own some different parts of the game. And so, yeah, my mind went to staff, it went to practice, it went to camp, it went to the players, all that stuff. And it's been a pretty fun first few weeks.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned staff because there are two returning assistant coaches to Portland. Steve Changang and Taj Ridley are both back in Portland on the staff, with Steve now appointed as your associate head coach. And then you bring in some other additions to the staff, Landon Tatum, Brendan Baker. If you could dive in, how do these other pieces connect to help make your job easier as far as coaches are concerned?
Yeah, sure. So Steve and Taj are a big part of it. Steve obviously is the associate head coach, and he sort of assumed that responsibility, and I've been leaning on him in a lot of different ways in terms of what we're doing day to day and how we're installing and implementing things. And he's had a really big voice in camp, and he does a great job with his relationships with the players and his understanding of the of both sides of the ball. He's been really, really helpful. And then Taj has been sort of managing our player development from that standpoint, and has done a really good job of sort of organizing us and getting everyone on the same page and keeping us tight. Landon obviously comes with a lot of experience. He had a pretty good run with the Washington Wizards, and so he's got a lot of NBA experience, and he also had been an associate head coach in the G League as well. So that was a big role that he had taken on, and I was excited to have with me. And then Brendan was a part of that OKC Blue team. He was on that staff and sort of learned some good things from them, and is bringing some of that stuff over to us. And he's taken over the video responsibilities, and I've been really thrilled with the stuff he's doing. And then we also have a coaching analyst, Jackson Hett, who's a local kid who's been really, really helpful for us. So the staff's been great from a coaching perspective, and then we also have what I believe is the best support staff in the G League. And those guys, YL, Noah, Louis, those guys have been incredibly, incredibly helpful. And that's not even to go without saying that all the help from DeJuan, and then obviously Jarrell is our GM. I've been leaning on Jarrell quite a bit. So I've felt very comfortable from the jump just with who I'm surrounded by, and we'll continue to lean on those guys.
Yeah, some great people you just named. Brendan Baker being with OKC, he's on the good side of things now, even though they got the best of the Maine Celtics in the G League Finals last spring. I met you now a couple times. We saw you in Boston at the Auerbach Center, a chance to get the guys out on the court, in Brighton at the practice facility. I think someone asked you about Joe Mazzulla and your relationship. But Joe, when you got named the new head coach, Joe said that you excel in relationship management and communication. You don't have to share. You can share what you want to share as far as your relationship with Joe's concerned. But what have you learned most from Joe, seeing how he's ascended in his role in Boston?
Yeah, I've learned a lot from Joe, and felt really comfortable. He did an amazing job of making me and my family feel comfortable, and not just me, but everybody that was on his staff last year feel really comfortable in their roles, and given us a lot of direction of like what he wanted us to do, and sort of gave us these avenues for us to own and take ownership in. And so I obviously part of the coaching staff management that I'm trying to do here in Portland is sort of based on the stuff that he does, because I've seen how much impact it has on the coaches and the support staff when you empower them and give them stuff that they can own and take ownership in, and then that always ends up bleeding down to the players. And then I've learned a lot from him tactically in terms of what we want to do strategically from game to game and how do we game plan. And then I've learned a lot from him in terms of how do you manage people, players, staff, all that stuff. And so we've tried some different things early on here to sort of engage the team and engage, get the program sort of started on a foundation where they're ready to compete and they understand that they're willing to do it for each other. Mm-hmm. And so some of that stuff I've learned from Joe.
Sure, really helps too. Again, Tyler Lashbrook, first year head coach of the Maine Celtics. He was with the Boston organization last year. So you have relationships built already with J.D. Davison, Drew Peterson, even Jay Scrubb, who was injured last fall. But Jay, I remember doing the media day this past Friday at the Expo, Jay said nothing but had glowing reviews for you and exactly that, how you connect with players. I think fair to say another person you've been well connected with as far as your coaching ranks are concerned, Brett Brown with the Philadelphia 76ers. Brett is a South Portland born and raised. He went to Boston University, but Brett's got ties to the area. You've got ties to Brett, had a nice run in Philadelphia. What has he taught you about coaching and bringing you up through the Philadelphia organization and more specifically connecting to the community of Maine?
Yeah, I mean, I've leaned on Brett a lot over the last 10 years or so, just in terms of life, in terms of coaching, in terms of just everything. And I don't think there was, aside from maybe my immediate family, there's probably nobody who was happier that I was going to be the main head coach than him.
Awesome.
And his everything from him was just immediately like, you're going to love the city. These are the areas you should visit. And one of the things that I saw him do and took from him was he had sort of built this like coaches clinic that he had done in Philadelphia. And I think we started off with like 20 coaches, and then at the end of it we had somewhere around 1,300 coaches who would come and see a practice and watch him coach and learn from him. And so on our second practice, we tried to implement something similar where we invited some local high school and college coaches around the area and had them come to a practice, and they were able to speak to me and our coaches and a couple of our players. And so they were able to sort of learn. And I learned from Brett that like doing that stuff for your community is of the utmost importance. And was just something that I wanted to sort of take from him and implement here.
It's really cool. You had a chance to speak with some folks, season ticket holders, and some of the focus of your role in Boston as an offensive assistant, player development. You also were an integral part to planning late game situations, which from a fan standpoint, media standpoint, we love to pick apart because we get excited about those kinds of plays, right? Even going back to when Brad Stevens was the coach, how he would draw something up for some of the players, then even having moments last year, early this year, Jason Tatum hits a huge three in Indiana to force the game into overtime. Like, folks love that stuff. So I think it's pretty cool that you were a big part of those kinds of situations. Anything jump out to you specifically as far as what that role means to you and
sure.
How it prepared you as a head coach now in this role?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Whenever Joe had sort of came to me and said that was the area that he wanted me to focus on, I was extremely excited. I mean, I'd spent so much time with Brett and with Doc as like as a video guy those first few years, and then a coach the latter years, and so I was always sort of in the video role, like doing that for Brett in some ways at a lesser level, but finding him different plays and different things that we should be highlighting or different situations that we should be aware of. And so I felt pretty comfortable taking over that role here in a bigger voice whenever I was with Joe. And again, it kind of goes back to like what I said about what I've learned from him is just empowering people and watching them sort of grow is just a real blessing. In terms of the late game situations themselves, one of the couple of things that I've learned is just sort of like really being well studied on what teams do at the end of games, because for the most part, teams will have philosophies in terms of whether or not they maintain their matchups or they switch their matchups or they maintain 1-4 and switch 5. And once you sort of understand that, if you're well studied enough to understand that stuff, you can then kind of go into your database of stuff that sort of attacks that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the things that I tried to really, really highlight. And it's helped me in this situation because even through camp now, we haven't had a ton of late game practice, but I feel pretty comfortable in it whenever I get to it. And so that'll be something that we start doing over the next couple of days. But I didn't feel like I needed to come in and start doing that immediately. I'd already had a decent amount of experience in that. I needed to do some other stuff first. So,
love that. I mean, I should have mentioned, even when Doc was in Boston, the Doc Rivers ATOs were always, those were memorable in the championship DVD going back to 2008, and how those guys were so connected. And that speaks to what you've brought to the table in Philly and in Boston as far as your ability to connect with players. I would also, I'm just asking out of curiosity, would the Peyton Pritchard before halftime or end of quarters, does that fit your criteria as well?
That's more of a probably a full coaching staff thing. Okay. And obviously also with Peyton, like Peyton has the pride where he doesn't, you know, shooting a half court shot and missing it, he doesn't worry about getting that 0-for-1. Like it takes a lot of humility from him to say, like, no, I'm going to take this challenge on and do it. So that's a Peyton thing, and then end of quarter sort of like substitute management thing.
Okay. I was trying to throw you one there, but you're honest. I give you credit for that. These past few seasons, let's talk about this team. The main Celtics for 24-25, as much as folks want to reminisce on the finals, and the same could be said for Boston. You're champions, but now we're on to a new year. We flipped the calendar, and now the quest, as Joe Mazzulla said, they don't want to defend it. We want to attack it like we haven't won anything yet, which I admire. I think that's a great way of looking at it. Maine, for Maine's purposes, they've always had, these last couple of years, this is my fourth year with the team, they've had a veteran guy in the building, such as Tony Snell last year, 2 years ago. Denzel Valentine was, I thought, a really nice player for J.D. Davison to learn from, as for in terms of a locker room, floor general, et cetera. Is there someone in these first few weeks of camp, even dating back to when you guys were getting, you know, going in the late summer, early fall, is there someone that you've seen take a mentor slash leadership role here in training camp?
Yeah, I've seen it from a bunch of different individuals in their own ways. You know, obviously with our two ways with Drew and with JD, we talk, especially with JD, about being a leader and what his voice means. We don't necessarily have a long-standing NBA veteran quite like that, but we do have some guys with some really good experience. So Jay Scrubb has had some really good NBA experience and some really good life experience that he can share to our guys. You see it with Ron Harper, who spent some years in the G League. Mm-hmm. And then I would say the other two guys that have really stood out are the guys that were here last year. So Jordan Shackle and Don Carey have really sort of taken a leadership role on the court. And you don't often get this much continuity in terms of having players in the G League who are returning. And so to have Don and Jordan, who sort of understand the language already and are comfortable playing in that system, I think that those guys have really shined. And those guys are – we have a pretty mature group, which is fun.
I would agree. After just talking to him on Friday last week, it's a pretty – well-spoken group too, that kind of gets what they're signing up for. And Harper and Scrub more specifically, I know Scrub was with the team last year before the injury, but two guys that kind of get it as far as, like, if you want to make a run, especially in the G League, the most connected teams come March and April tend to April, of course, being the finals, but in February and March, if you're connected and you're playing the right way, which we saw last year with Maine, you can go a long way. We on this particular episode, it's our first podcast episode for the Maine Celtics podcast. So we're diving into the roster. We're trying to figure out who's who, how it fits, et cetera. And that's part of your role, of course. We discussed the two ways. You mentioned Drew, mentioned JD, two returning players, and Tom Watson. Folks are excited about him and how he comes in and fits from Gonzaga. But as you know, part of your role, and I've seen this happen with Jarrell, with Barlow, with Blaine Miller last year, there's going to be some guys are going up and down. You get some last minute info. Hey, you're going to be with so-and-so, but you're not going to have so-and-so. There's always that balancing, juggling act with the roster. So who are some other guys? And you mentioned Scrub and Harper. How about some other guys that you expect to step up if and when there are absences from your two-way guys?
Yeah, I think before I answer that question, I think part of the job as the head coach isn't just to coach the two ways. It's to coach guy 1 through 15.
Great, you know? Yeah.
So we've been trying to be really mindful of spending a lot of time with every guy, because it, again, in these situations, and we've talked to the team about this, that you never really know when your number's going to be called and you need to be ready. And I want to feel like, from my perspective, that I've spent time with them and can trust them. I would say Don and Jordan have stood out in a lot of ways. Eric Gaines had a really big game today, a really big day today. Hassan Ward has been pretty impressive in his ability to sort of make things happen. Tristan and Aruna, obviously, is a talented kid and about all the right things and works hard. Those are all guys, you know, and then, you know, even with London Johnson, we've been really working with him early and trying to help him in his development. So we've really been spending time with everybody. And to me, if we continue to just give those guys the amount of development and attention that they need and that they deserve, I won't be surprised when any of them step up, because that's sort of what's expected.
Being John Scheinman will do TV with me this year as well. We're TV guys, so colleagues of ours are Drew Carter and Brian Scalabrine. They do the Celtics broadcast. Scal has been singing your praises. He loves your team in Portland. He's excited about you. He's excited about Maine. What do you make of the hype about your team being? I mean, you look at your team on paper; it's a very talented team. What would your response be to that?
Yeah, I'm excited about them too. I'm excited. I'm excited about the group of people that we have in this building. These guys, for that first week, we really asked a lot of them physically. Some of them had said that it was one of the harder camps that they had been a part of, and one of the messages that we tried to give them is that in order for them to get to where they want to go, they have to train harder than the game. And so we approached that first week with that mindset and sort of started building that foundation of that mindset of we're going to compete at all times. And so I was really, really pleased with the group's just overall competitive level and their competitiveness and their ability to do and live by the right things. This week has been a little bit more about teaching so far today. You know, today was a teach day. We still competed because you can't turn that off, and our guys are really responded with one of the best days of the camp so far. So I'm also excited about them.
I know when I saw you last Thursday, I was impressed with how your practice went, and guys kind of just the investment. And you said, well, this wasn't even one of our harder practices, so I'm glad you still felt that way after watching it. I think your harder day was Wednesday of last week. But that's a good sign. I mean, having been to a few Boston practices at Auerbach Center, the parallels were there. So it felt like an NBA practice. And that speaks to not just yourself and your staff, but the buy-in from the players. And there's some, of course, that symmetry that guys like Drew and JD have brought. I want to ask you another one on JD. It's his third season. He's 22 years old, but now he's like a G League veteran. The offense seems to run through him. I know Drew is going to be asked to be more of a ball handler in circumstances with, you know, DJ Stewart now in Chicago. There's more opportunities for Drew being in the system for a full off season, now having a camp. Could you explain though, when it comes to JD, as far as the head coach, and you hear this, it's cliche in basketball, but you always hear like the point guard is the extension of the coach. But JD being one of your more experienced guys, and you've mentioned it to me now on this, that you've talked to him about leadership. What is the relationship like between you and JD as far as how you want that to be taken from the sideline in your spot to the court for 48 minutes?
No, you can feel it whenever you're in practice and JD's on one of the teams, or, you know, you go through the scrimmage and he's not there. Like, you could feel that there's some more stuff that you have to coach, because to our guys' credit, like, they don't know some of the stuff that we're asking them to do, whereas JD's got enough experience where, like, he's looking to sort of dominate different situations, and is a point guard and a leader, has been really good in our situational scrimmages. So understanding his two-for-ones, understanding his end-of-quarter management, understanding what defense we want to be in two-for-ones, like, and understanding how to go in between coverages and why we're doing that. Like, he sort of knows all of that and can communicate that to the team as well as I could. And so from that perspective, yeah, it's amazing to have him with me. It still amazes me that he's 3 years in and 22 years old, though. I mean, he just turned 22.
It's crazy. I mean, considering we would have Jordan Walsh last year, and Jordan would be like, yeah, a year and a half ago, I graduated high school. And that's still to this day, when you think about that out loud, is hard to process. Tyler Lashbrook, first-year head coach of the Maine Celtics. We look forward to a great year. You guys open up on the road for your first couple games this coming weekend. We'll get you in the Expo. on the 15th. The Larry O'Brien Trophy is coming on the 17th, so fans get a chance to see the Larry O'Brien Trophy. But we look forward to more, and best of luck. The games get to count for real this weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm just ready to get going.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for Coach Lashbrook joining us. Very excited to get to know him throughout the course of the year, coming from Boston in a developmental role to still in a developmental role, but to now be the head coach of the Maine Celtics. Maine hits the road to open the season. They're at Long Island on Friday, and then Delaware on Monday, Veterans Day, 7 o'clock Eastern for that game on Monday. And then our debut together, John, in the booth will be Friday, November 15th, when the Maine Celtics welcome in the Westchester Knicks for a pair of games. Friday at 7 o'clock, we will be, on a local basis, we will be on NBC Sports Boston, home of the Boston and Maine Celtics. Boston plays Saturday that weekend, so it actually works out very well. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you get Maine, Boston, Maine. Sunday will be special as well because the Larry O'Brien Trophy is going to make its way to the Expo on Sunday for the 1 o'clock tip against Westchester. That's pretty cool. I'm excited for that.
I'm really excited to see the Larry O'Brien Trophy and get my picture taken with it. That's not an everyday opportunity, folks. NBA's version of the Stanley Cup. It's pretty nice trophy, and encourage everybody to come to the Expo on both Friday and Sunday.
Championship energy flowing through the building. So Maine will hit the road to open the year. And then, like I mentioned, we'll be with you on Friday the 15th and Sunday the 17th. We'll be off and running in the showcase portion of the season. John Scheinman, looking forward to a fun year. Thanks for being here.
Pleasure. Can't wait. Great interview with Coach Lashbrook. I'm really excited for him. The first year head coach is always the most fun, and as I shared my first year in Portland as the head coach, we cut down a net. So here's wishing the same to Coach Lashbrook.
Excellent. Very good. Okay. For John Scheinman, Brendan Glasheen, folks, please like the video, subscribe to our channel. We will be with you many times throughout the season for the Maine Celtics podcast. We'll talk to you again next time.